Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And in our previous episode, Dad, we looked at sola Christus, and that is of Christ and in Christ alone that we can know salvation. But this week we want to take a look and jump into sola gratia, grace alone, which basically means our salvation rests solely on the work of God's grace for us. And you know, it's interesting, some of these, or all of these we've been talking about, all these solas, really dovetail with one another. Yeah. But I think it's important that we divide them up.
They say different aspects of the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But kind of jumping in here and just kind of moving along as we look at this whole issue of grace alone, which is what that phrase means. What is grace? I mean, we kick that word around and like, oh, God's so good and He's so gracious and thank you for His grace and well, all of grace, you know. What does that mean?
Well, you know, there's the age-old sort of standard definition, which is grace is God's unmerited favor.
Right.
This is a pretty brief definition. It's not bad. I certainly don't want to take issue with the many, many years of use of that definition.
Right.
But I sort of wrote down something that I thought was helpful, and it's a little lengthy, but you know, folks can play it back again if they want to hear it, if they think it's worth hearing again. But I said that grace is the free, undeserved, and active favor and loving disposition of God by which He saves, sanctifies, strengthens, and seals His child.
That's a mouthful.
It is. It's a lot. And there's some elements that you see in that definition. First, grace is undeserved.
Right.
It's unmerited, unmerited favor. Second, it's free. That goes along with that. And then it's active. It's not a passive sort of disposition. It's an active favor and disposition. And it's effectual. It accomplishes something. It does what it is intended to do.
Right.
So, you know, that's my shot at it.
Right. No. Well, and I think that's good. It kind of encapsulates everything that we want to talk about really right now. And just kind of following our format that we've been following with all of these solas. We've been talking about the biblical basis, and then we talk about the dangers, and then we talk about the gospel responsibilities, the application to our life, which I think is important as we walk out of here and as we do our daily thing. But just starting off here, what is the biblical basis for grace?
Well,
I should say grace alone.
Yeah, grace alone. Well, all of those elements of grace that I mentioned in that definition are found in 1 Corinthians 15, 9, and 10. And there Paul is discussing the gospel appropriately, and he says, I am the least of all the saints, and not worthy to be called, or all the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God.
Right.
And then he launches into this.
So he recognizes his depravity, is not really deserving it.
Right. Well, then he launches into this verse. It wasn't a verse when he did it, but it's a sentence, if you want to call it that. And he mentions the word grace three times. But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Right.
He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And the grace which he bestowed upon me was not in vain. And then he, that whole thing encapsulates this whole idea of his salvation. He saw that as by grace. His sanctification, his growing in that knowledge of, you know, and Peter talks about growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. His strength to do the very things. He's the grace of God. I didn't do the labor. The grace of God in me did the labor. And how those elements of grace are in that biblical concept of grace there.
So what I'm hearing you saying is that he definitely took the emphasis off of himself, realizing who he was as a man, as a fallen, sinful, utterly depraved man, that we use that phrase a lot, depravity, and then realizing that apart from Christ, which we talked about last week, and the grace that he affords, that it would have not happened his salvation.
Right.
Yeah.
He also talks about, in another verse, in another gospel passage, he relates the gospel to grace and grace to the gospel. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became, the literal word is beggarly poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Mm. There's that active undeserved free favor of God. So those passages are good, strong passages to hang on that definition.
Yeah, and we've already touched on this, but there's Ephesians 2.
Well, that's the classic one.
Yeah, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not yourself. It is the gift of God. That one we used last week for faith. But then you also mentioned when we were talking earlier about Galatians 1, 6 through 9, and there's some repetition that's important in that verse.
Well, Paul, in this passage, another passage we're going to look at, really just kind of draws the line between works and grace. And he says in Galatians 1, 6, I marvel, he's talking to the Galatians, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So you see there how he delineates the two, grace of Christ and another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And, as you said, this very important repetition, as we said before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel to you, other than the gospel of grace in Christ, then what you have received, let him be accursed. So he's drawing a line.
Yeah, it's almost like Paul saying, unless you forgot what I just said, I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you get this.
Right.
It's very important that we separate between a man-made, man-centered, man's works salvation and the gospel of grace in Christ.
Right, and I think we can further say this statement, and that is, biblically speaking, grace and works, man-made systems, mm-hmm. ways to come to God.
Or efforts. Yeah.
Yeah, efforts are mutually exclusive.
Yeah, that's what Paul brings out in the passages. That's the thing we need to remember. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about grace and works. We need to hinge our theology on the very clear passages, and these are... And if you don't mind, I'll go on to Romans 11, 5 mm-hmm. and 6, because there he says it even more clearly. Even so then, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. I mean, he couldn't say it much clearer.
Yeah, they don't go together.
Works and grace are mutually exclusive.
Now, that does not mean we do not strive in the grace of God. Yeah. Because Paul talks about that earlier, and I think it's in Philippians, where he says that we work out our own salvation.
Right.
For it is God that willeth in us both to do and his good pleasure.
Right.
So there is the striving in God's grace,
right.
by his grace, through his grace, in his grace.
Yeah.
And that's we can now strive because of his grace, but yet to think that we could come to God because of our works and pleasing because of our works necessarily... They're not together. They're not mutual. They're mutually exclusive.
Right. Well, in that passage we looked at earlier where Paul said, I labor more abundantly than all the apostles. And he said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So he gives both elements there. He does the same thing in another place, was in Galatians. It's mm-hmm. the passage. It's the book about works.
Right.
And the whole book's about grace. Yeah. But he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
All right, so we've looked at the biblical basis. We know that, biblically speaking, grace and works are not mutually exclusive. But now we want to kind of transition into the dangers. And one of the dangers that I think is so clear, yet is so kicked around wrong, is this word legalism.
Right.
It's and I say this because we have our... And I hope people understand me when I say this. I'm not trying to put people in different camps, but it's just to help us understand this. We have our, you know, uber conservative people,
right.
and then we have our, you know, our people over here who use legalism as a cry to be able to do whatever they want to do,
for license.
So you know, the uber conservative people stiffen when you use that word legalism because they think you're trying to tell them they can't have any kind of standard by which they live and please God, and then you've got your people who license to do whatever they want to do, and so everything's done under the banner of you can't pull legalism. I mean, that's legalism,
and
you know.
Guys just say, well, if you do whatever you want that's not written in the scripture, you'll be doing everything.
Right.
You know, so we're always going to live with this tension in the church. Right. For those of us who hope to base what we say and base our lives on the Word of God and commit to the gospel, the truth of the gospel, we have to live with and work through that tension. Because it's going to be there.
And the tension's good. I think we need to live in that tension because what it does is it keeps us on our face before God.
Yeah.
I remember hearing this preached somewhere, and I can't remember what it was, but it's that humility realizing, I can't do this. I can't walk in personal holiness without thinking this is what's going to bring me right standing with God.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So there's this tension that you're living in. You know, I want to walk in personal holiness because I want to please God, but at the same time, I want to rely completely and utterly upon His grace. And there's that tension, and I think this is in my... Well, in all my listenings of different sermons and people speaking, Piper says it really well. And he was talking to me, and he may have been in Romans when he was doing this. I can't remember. But I was listening to a message, and he said that when it comes to this whole issue of either license or, you know, total, like, man-centered,
legalism.
I'm going to do legalism, he said, it's a razor's edge.
It is.
And he said, you're constantly walking that razor's edge, and there's always a tendency to fall to one side or the other. But as long as you stay on that razor's edge, that tension of where you're seeking God and saying, God, I am nothing, but you are everything, and I need you to work and move in my life.
Yeah, and those of us walking that tightrope, that razor's edge, are going to see the tension of it from a different perspective. Some of us from one side of the tension, the others from the other side of the tension.
And there may be some differences, but I think there's nothing wrong with preaching practical holiness.
Yeah.
As long as you don't lose sight of the positional holiness.
Right.
you know.
And you see that as the basis for practical holiness. And as long as we don't impose upon people things that aren't biblical.
Exactly. They're just not mentioned in Scripture.
I can challenge you and say, well, Daniel, if you do this particular thing, then this is going to be true and this is going to be true. You need to have the grace of God to say, I see what you're saying, and I need to pray through that. On the other hand, if you, through prayer, say to me, well, you know, I think I'm cool there, then I've got to say, this guy's...
Because it's not commanded in Scripture not to do it.
Then I have to say, well, I have to leave it with Him, the Lord.
Yeah. Right. No, it's true. So we have legalism as a danger. It's a huge danger, and I think in any circles that you might want to throw yourself in, and I don't want to get into like, well, I'm of this and I'm of that. No, it's everybody falls into this issue of legalism and having to deal with it from a different perspective. But the next thing that I think we see as a danger is that any hint that man has anything to do with his salvation...
Right, and that's similar.
Is not true.
But it can be a little more subtle
than
just full-blown legalism.
Right.
It can be this almost attitude, this inner thought process that, God, if I don't do this, God's not going to like me. And if I do this, God is going to like me.
Well, and I think it's very easy. I find myself, if I do something, pour a lot of time into it, and maybe during that time and point when I've done that, I struggle with a certain sin in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not going the way I thought it was going to go, that certain thing I was working on. It's like, well, God's punishing me now.
Yeah.
And I loved what a friend of ours, a pastor friend of ours, Eric Kohler, said. He said, God is not punitive to His children. He does chasten and He does discipline.
He's corrective.
But He's not punitive in the sense that He's going to judge us and totally wipe us away. You know, that's just not God's character toward His children.
He's not getting back at us.
No, no.
He's always lovingly drawing us in.
And He has a purpose and a plan for those things that He's seeking to teach us through. And I tend to do that. I go, well, it's not working because I haven't been walking in obedience to God.
Yeah.
No, actually, I don't think we realize how many times we don't walk in obedience to God.
And how God's mercy and grace are active at that point.
Right.
Yeah. So I just think we need to keep that in mind personally a lot.
Right.
I have to keep that in mind. Any hint that I have something to do with my salvation and my standing with God.
Yeah. And it's, like you said, it's very subtle. The dangers of legalism, the dangers of not just being legalistic, but just kind of, it just creeps in. Just very easily creeps in, and you go, wait a minute. No, I am right before God.
Yeah.
He has forgiven me.
Yeah.
I can move forward. I can rest in this great truth.
Yeah, and I can live by His grace and
obedience.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then you've got the dangers. Well, we talked about the biblical basis. We've got the dangers. Then we move to more of the application in our everyday life. And we've already touched a little bit on application, but there's the gospel responsibilities.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we just go through here, there's three things we want to look at. One is shun any hint of human effort for salvation.
Right, yeah. We just can't go there. We cannot give ourselves any credit.
No, cannot ever.
Right.
Lest any man should boast, as Paul says.
Yeah.
He says, faith and grace are gifts, lest any man should boast. If you don't have that perspective.
We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He has before ordained that we should walk in.
Then you have point people to the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Right. That is our preaching. That's our preaching. That's our witnessing.
Yeah.
It is grace. All of grace, as Spurgeon
told us. Yeah, all of grace. That's right. And he was big, heavy on preaching that. And then the last thing, I thought this was really good what you came up with. Sing grace, pray grace, preach grace, live grace.
Right.
To experience true joy, the Christian must appreciate the meaning and truth of grace.
Yeah, those three words are very close in the Greek. Chara, charis, joy, grace. The person who really lives in joy understands and is coming to understand more and more the graces in Christ Jesus. Mm,
always growing in God's grace.
Yeah.
Never enough. Well, we've come to the end of our time here, and we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org. Or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.